Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
Amen. Good morning, Cross Point. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing well, awake, ready to go, second service. We're making it through. So thank you for your continued flexibility as we have transitioned through this pandemic together. It's hard to believe, but we have not been here together since mid-March. We've continued to gather together, be that online, at Chisholm Park, and then now back here at South Creek Middle School. And I think one of the things that for all of us, we have felt in some way, but I also want to caution us in, is have you ever found yourself saying, man, I just wish it could go back to normal? Or finding this disdain for new normal and whatever that means, and in the sense of if it could just go back to the way it was. But here's my question. Do we really want that? Like, if we were to be honest with ourselves, to be introspective for a moment, are you satisfied with the pace at which you were living life before the pandemic? The busyness that was America, worshiping at the altar of being busy, feeling like you're accomplishing things, is that really what we want to get back to? What about in your spiritual life, in your heart and affections toward God, in your desire to walk in accordance with His commands? Were you satisfied that, yes, I was living as I desire spiritually? Or do you look and say, maybe I was a little too self-independent, not recognizing my own dependency and need? What were you satisfied in your relationships? And my point is this, that returning to normal is not good enough. The Psalms of Ascent and what we have been looking at in studying together, these 15 songs that God gave to Israel to be sung as they journeyed from their homes to Jerusalem to worship, was to prepare their heart for the transformation. And even the first song, we heard together that in my distress, I'll call out to the Lord. When we feel confined, that we will no longer dwell where we've been dwelling, but there was a holy dissatisfaction that caused their eyes to turn from where they were dwelling to then look to God. And I think we need to be reminded of that same thing. We do not need to just return to where we were dwelling and how we were living. What we desperately need is to fix our eyes on Christ and to be changed and transformed and renewed by what He has for us as we look towards the future. To not go back, but to fix our eyes on Christ. The second song then said, to lift our eyes. You know, I lift my eyes up to the hills and sing, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And as we look to the future, where will we place our hope? In hills of false hope, or in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And then last week we looked at the encouragement. When it's come, let us worship together. Let us go to the house of the Lord, being built and bonded together as a spiritual house for His glory. The song of gathered worship. Today's song is the song of a servant. It's a song of lament. It's a collective sigh. See, it's not just fixing our eyes on a hill that's off in the future. It's not just lifting our eyes up to the gates that we were standing in last week as we're gathered for worship. It's not just lifting our eyes to the temple, but our eyes will be lifted above to the God who is enthroned in the heavens. And it will cause for a cry and a sigh for mercy. Like, if we're honest with one another, What emotions or feelings have you experienced in these past months through the pandemic? Like the anger, impatience, anxiety, depression, frustration. Like we would love to think that these were somehow these external circumstances that put these emotions on us. But really, all they were this external force that squeezed and exposed what was actually in our own hearts. And if we're honest with one another, my prayer is this morning we will bring all of that before God, not hiding it, not trying to suppress it, because a return to a new normal or what we knew as normal is just to pursue our own comfort so that we can maintain strength to hide what we're experiencing. When God is inviting to bring that to the surface and bring about renewal and healing. And so are you going to pursue your own comfort and strength so you can continue to hide, or will you continue to ascend the hill to meet with God, to be renewed and transformed by Him? Who will we be months from today? Will we surrender ourselves to His hand, to be formed and transformed by Him? See, today's song, it's a lament. One definition of a lament says that it's a tool that God's people uses to navigate pain and suffering. It's a tool that God gives us. It's a vital aspect of prayer. That the people of God, because it enables us to petition God to help deliver us from distress, from suffering, from pain. It's a prayer, it's a sigh, it's an exhaustion that causes us to cry out. And we feel this. This is what we're going to see in this song, that this psalmist, in the psalm, I'm going to tell you up front, it doesn't end like, oh, it was hard and yay, rejoice. It ends with a longing that is waiting for fulfillment that is not resolved in that song itself. It's a feeling that the psalmist describes as, we have had more than enough. Have you felt that way? Like, I've had enough of this. Just, I'm done. Right? And then it even goes a bit deeper. Our soul has had more than enough. Like, to the depth of my being, I'm done with it all. Just done with it. This is the cry of the psalmist. And the solution that we are called to is both comforting and challenging. There will be aspects of this that I think for some, you're not going to like it. It's going to go against aspects of your own preference. And so if you will, turn with me to Psalm 123. It's just four verses long. And let's read this together. Beginning in verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these verses this morning. And as we walk through this passage, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring comfort to the pain, that you would bring conviction to our proudness, Lord, and you would help lift the eyes of our hearts to you and you alone as our help and our hope, Lord. I pray that you would do the work that my words are powerless to accomplish, but that your word can do. That it can speak to the soul, that it can bring a balm of healing, Lord. Lord, would you work in us this morning? And in Jesus' name, amen. Look to these first words. To you, I lift up my eyes. See, the question is, where do you look when you're feeling this pressure, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling depressed, distressed, distracted, contempt from others, scorn from others, confined by their words against you? Where do you look? Because there's kind of one of three ways that we tend to look. Some just want to look inward. Right? You want to look at your own strength. You want to say it's not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get up. Right? You want to say, I'm just going to get through this. I'm going to pull myself together. I can do this. I'm just going to find a new way, and I'm just going to press through and forge my own path. And you can, in your own self-determination and self-reliance, assume that you can bring about your own transformation and renewal. Others then look not inwardly, but outwardly. You can either look for an outward sense of hope for things that might bring about meaning or purpose, or you can look on the outward side of comfort and distraction. Another glass of wine, another show on Netflix. Just, I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. I don't want to feel this weight in my soul. So let me just spend a little bit more time on social media. Let me just spend a little bit more time online so I don't have to feel. Let me have another sip of alcohol. Let me have another TV show to watch just so I don't have to think, so I don't have to feel. And we can look outwardly. But what we are called to do is to look upward. To look to God, to lift our eyes. Spurgeon says that the uplifted eyes naturally and instinctively represent the state of the heart, which fixes desire and hope and confidence and expectation upon the Lord. See, it's not just saying your physical eyes look at God. This is saying, what is the position of your heart, of your soul? When you say, my soul has had more than enough, and you're saying, Lord, here's my soul. Here's my brokenness. Here's who I am. Let me look at you with all of this. This is the heart of what it means to lift our eyes. But also notice the posture. Where does this put us? If God is above, then where are we? Below. Right? And we don't always like this position when we're feeling down, when we're feeling oppressed. We're like, lift me up. But this passage isn't saying you're being lifted up. It's saying lift up the one who is actually high. Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Long Road, on the journey to the long obedience, he says this, service begins with an upward look to God, that God is over us. God is above us. That the person of faith looks up to God. We don't look at him. We don't look down on him. That the servant assumes a certain posture, a stance. If we fail to take that posture, attentive in responsiveness to the master's command, will be hard. God is above us. We are servants. And as we lift our eyes above and we realize this, it causes this collective sigh, this lament. A verse in a hymn that was written in 1865 says this, prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye, when none but God is near. Have you ever felt that or prayed that way? Does that like strike a chord in your heart? Like, I felt this when my prayer came out, not as something powerful, but something out of exhaustion, as if it was my very last breath, as if I had nothing more to say or to do, but to plead with God. It was the falling of a tear that spoke more than the words that we could utter. It is the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. I believe that we have all at some point felt this way. And this is exactly what the psalmist is calling us to not just look, but to behold is what it says in verse 2. That this isn't just saying it's a passing glance. It's let me just look quickly. Let me look on Sunday morning so I can get on about my week. It is saying to behold, to meditate, to fix our eyes, our minds, our hope on Christ. to say, this is where I'm going to look. This is where I'm going to stare. It's a pleadful, a pleading look. It's a hopeful look. That's saying, I'm going to look to my God and King. It is ever watchful, transfixed on the sovereign rule and reign of God over our lives. Saying, I'm going to look to Him in His position of what it says. Behold the eyes of servants, that we are servants as He is enthroned in the heavens, that He is enthroned high above the earth. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is master, and we then are below. We are servants, the created, looking to the Creator, dependents of a new household, servants under the control and authority of a master. Now, this is where I say some may not like what this means, because in reality, when we're feeling oppressed, when we're feeling the scorn and contempt of others, we want to be lifted up above that. Lord, deliver me from this. Don't make me, I don't want to be subject to them. But then we say we don't want to be subject to anybody. We want to stand in independence with self-reliance, self-justification is the nature of humanity. But what this is saying is that no, we are not subject to this contempt and scorn, but we are subject to God. We are subject to Him. Eugene Peterson also goes on to say that God is not our servant. That God is not your servant to be called into action when you're just simply too tired to do something yourself. He's not just an expert that you call on when you find that you are ill-equipped to deal with some specialized problem. He's not a buddy that you call on occasionally that to ask to join you at your own convenience or for your own diversion. God did not become your servant so that you can order Him around, but so that you could join Him in a redemptive life. That if God is God at all, He must know more about your needs than you do. That if God is God at all, He must be more in touch with the reality of your thoughts, your emotions, your bodies than you are. That if God is God at all, He must have a more comprehensive grasp of the inner relations of your family, of your communities, of your workplace. Do you treat God as your servant to overcome your circumstances? Or do you acknowledge that He is King, enthroned in the heavens, and we are His servant? This psalm puts us in the position as broken, as exhausted, in deep in our souls, in a position of servanthood to a holy God, because He is God and you are not. This is what it's calling us to. To you I lift up my eyes. O you who are enthroned in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master. Think about this. See, when we lift our eyes to God and we look and see that He is the one enthroned in heaven, it says that we look to His hand. But what does this mean? What does it mean to look to the hand of our master? And I think of all the different ways that the scripture talks about the hand of God. See, it talks about the hand of God being one that is a hand of power. That this hand that we look to in Isaiah 48 says that it was His hand that laid the foundation of the earth. That it was His right hand that spread out the heavens. And that when He calls to them, they stand forth together. This is the hand that we look to. This is the hand of our God that is so powerful that it laid the foundation of the earth, that it spread the heavens across the high. It is the hand of a God that is powerful, but it is also a hand of ever-present help. Isaiah 41 says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. And it is I who say to you, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. I am the one who helps you declares the Lord. That it is this hand of God that reaches out to hold us, to comfort us. This is what we need, not to look inwardly and be self-reliant, but to look upward, acknowledging our need and receiving mercy from God. It is a hand that is both, yes, it is powerful. Yes, it is a hand of help, but it is also a hand of ownership. The prophet Jeremiah talks about how God is a potter and we are clay, and he forms us according to his purposes and his will. He shapes our lives. He forms our lives. He molds us. And that this is an ongoing process into which we can entrust our lives. It is a hand of provision. The psalmist says in Psalm 63, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is the hand of the master to whom we look. It is a hand of love that the psalmist also says in Psalm 136, with the strong hand, in an outstretched arm, his steadfast love endures forever. This is the king who is enthroned that we look to. This is the hand that we desperately, desperately need. And here's the amazing thing, that we see that this otherness of God, who is enthroned in the heavens, there's this transition that happens from verse 1 to the end of verse 2, that it starts of, my eyes are lifted up, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. We see the otherness of God, the height of God, that he is above and we are below. But by the end of verse 2, there was something personal, this drawing near that happens, because there's a repetition that says, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God. Do you see this God who is enthroned in heaven has drawn near? There's this personal relationship now. The Lord, our God, a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, has drawn near in relationship, not just in otherness, but his arm is stretched out toward us. It is loving toward us, that we can look to him and be subject to him because he is good and loving. That the God who laid the foundation of the earth and stretched the heavens out across the sky is our God. The God who called Abraham is our God. The God of Isaac and Jacob is our God. The God who sits on the eternal throne of David is our God. And that he's not just this judge looking to bring down punishment, though he will be just and judge right and wrong, but he is a potter working with the clay of our lives, forming and reforming until finally our lives have been renewed and redeemed and shaped into the redeemed life, a vessel to be used for his glory. This is what we surrender to. And here's the strange thing about this passage that I find strange. It's an invitation to mercy. Like, think about this. If you're feeling scorn, if you're feeling contempt from others, if you're feeling overwhelmed, like your soul is crying out, the first thing that we tend to cry out for is, Lord, would you lift me up? Lord, would you deliver me? Lord, would you be my victor in this? That's how I typically pray, but the prayer that happens here is one of mercy. Have mercy till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. That all of a sudden, this person who is broken, beaten down, scorned, contempt from others, hemmed in by the expectations of others, is now looking to God and crying out for mercy. And here's what this tells me, that see, the person who is looking outward and just looking at how others are treating them, looking at the circumstances of others, is going to pray very different than the person who is looking to God. Right? Because if you're looking at all of your circumstances, you're going to pray that those circumstances change. But to the one who lifts up their eyes and they're beholding, meditating on the holiness of God, that he is the one enthroned in heaven, and who am I in light of such a holy God, is not going to pray for the destruction of others in victory. They are going to cry out for mercy, God. Mercy. I need mercy. Because see, mercy is not getting what we deserved. It's speeding getting pulled over and not getting the ticket, though you deserve it. Mercy is saying before a holy God, I'm a sinner. I deserve wrath. Mercy, God, mercy. See, this is something that is saying, look at who I am in light of who God is. Even though what brought you before the throne room was this feeling of being crushed, overwhelmed deep in your soul, this is what was being cried out for. Mercy. And this is to be the continual cry of the believer. This is what we continue to look for, even today. Because even today, see, the hand of Jesus is that stretched out arm of God toward us that we see, that we have received mercy in Christ. We are recipients of mercy. But there's still a longing. In the same way that the psalmist cries, till mercy has come upon us, there is an already and a not yet. We have already received mercy from Christ, but there is a not yet as we continue to navigate this world and we continue to feel the pressure of the brokenness of the sin around us, the division around us, and we feel that weight and our souls continue to cry out, how much longer, Lord? This is more than I can bear. Jude only has one chapter, and in verse 20, he writes, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. And in this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Do you hear that? There's still this waiting. There's still this longing to build one another up and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. See, we have, and you're like, haven't we been saved? Yes, but have we tasted it fully? Not until Christ comes. So in the moment, there is still longing. In the moment, there is still a crying out. And this is saying, build one another up. If your faith is wavering, look to Christ. If you're looking to other things, look to Christ. There is this collective sigh that we share with the psalmist, that when it says we have had more than enough, our soul has had more than enough, we cry this out. And this song is meant to help us in that journey. Like, I have a playlist on my phone and it's just called sad music. Like, I'm just that kind of person. Like, if I'm feeling down, I don't want to hear something upbeat and joyous. It kind of just ticks me off, right? I just want to be sad. And so I just play my sad music. And Kirsten walked into my office one day and she's like, this is depressing. And I was like, I know, it's good, right? Like, this is a sad song. There's a sigh in it. There's a lament. There's a sign that says, my heart's heavy, my soul's weary. There's a longing in it that we say, until mercy is upon us. There's this sense of it's not yet fulfilled. It's not yet finished. The journey's long. I'm tired. My heart's tired. My feet's tired. Till mercy comes. Till mercy comes. And there's this longing. And yet, there is an expectation in the longing. An expectation that says, I will lift my eyes. I will look to the hand of my master. And so the eyes... So my eyes look to the Lord, my God. See, there is an expectation that God is faithful, that He will draw near, that He is sufficient, that we are His servant. And so the question is, in your distress, in your longing, maybe for comfort, so you don't have to deal with all the feelings that you've been dealing with, my encouragement is don't try to hide them, don't try to cover them up, but bring them before God. And to check your heart, where have you been looking? Where are you looking and where will you look moving forward? Are you looking inward to just say, I'm going to power through this? Are you looking outward? to just for distraction, to not have to feel what you're feeling? Or are you looking upward to the God who is enthroned in the heavens? Lift up your eyes and behold Christ. That Jesus is the extension of God's merciful hand toward us. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich, abundantly wealthy in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead, completely dead in your trespasses, he made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised you up with him, and seated you with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, so that no one can boast. It is a gift of God. Think about what this is saying, that as we look to the one who is enthroned in heaven, noticing and understanding the depth of our own trespasses, being dead in our own sin, knowing that his abundant love outstretched toward us through Christ has raised us to life, seated us with Christ in the heavenly places, that we have an identity, a position as a child of God because of his mercy. As we surrender before him. See, it was Jesus who ascended the hill of Calvary. It was Jesus who took upon himself the wrath of God for our sins, that we might receive mercy. It was Jesus who breathed his last breath as he hung on the cross, taking the death that we deserved, the wrath of God that we deserved, that he was buried in the darkness of the tomb so that we might live in the light of a life, that he was raised on the third day that we might walk in the newness of life. It was Jesus who ascended that mountaintop before he ascended into heaven to prepare a place for you and I, because one day, soon and very soon, Christ will return for his people. And he will call us home to that place that he has prepared. And there we will know the fulfillment of the mercy, the fulfillment of the rest that is because of Christ. It is not our own doing. We cannot look inward. We must look upward to our King who is enthroned in the heavens. And his name is Jesus. This is our hope. And until then, until that day, until that mercy comes, we will lift our eyes and fix our hope on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we have a great and sufficient hope in you. Lord, that you are holier than we can imagine. Even what it means to be enthroned in the heavens is hard to comprehend. Lord, when I feel weak, I want to pretend to be strong. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to stop pretending. Help us to stop trying to just perform for you, for others, expressing that we have things together when in reality we don't. Lord, I pray that you would humble us to bring the brokenness and weariness of our souls before you in surrender. Lord, give us the strength to plead for mercy. Lord, lift the eyes of our hearts in hope, in expectation, with a patient endurance to trust you, when our own strength fails, and even before it does, Lord, just to fall with everything we have into your arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.